Let us stand. Our loving Father, we stand in your very presence. And we are very aware that you are here. You are amongst us. You are sitting beside us. You are holding our hands. And we can feel the love that you have for us. As we spend this time before you, O Lord, in worship and to hear from you, let us be humble before you and ever listening to your voice. We ask your blessing on this meeting now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to read from you from the New King James Version, a portion of the 53rd Psalm, of which we are all very familiar. But I read it maybe I don't know how many times since we heard of Shay's passing, over and over and over again, wept before the Lord. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid it, as were our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he is now carrying our grief and our sorrow. And he's saying, as is prophesied this morning, comfort ye, my people. Let us stand. We're going to sing. Even now, Lord, send us love, send us power, send us grace. Even now, Lord, let the warmth of your presence fill this place. We already feel it, but let's just sing it to him. And enjoy the presence of the Lord. Enjoy the comfort and his arms wrapped around us. Amen? Glory to God. It's on page 10, I think, in the back of the book, if you don't know it. Even now, Lord. Even now, Lord. Send us love, send us power, send us grace, even now, Lord. Oh, yes, now, Lord. Let the warmth of your presence fill this place. Sing the chorus again, even now, Lord. Send us love, send us power. Amen. Yes. Even now, Lord, let the warmth of your presence. again, even now. Oh, sing it, even now, Lord. Send us love, send us power, send us grace, even now, Lord. Sometimes we don't know what to ask for. When we meet together in your name, it's your perfect will we still seek after. When we are uncertain, come and reign. Even now. Amen. 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 Oh, sing it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Even now, Lord. Right now, Lord. Let the warmth of your presence stay. Listen as I sing the last verse for you. Here we are, Lord, gathered as your children. You're the loving Father of us all. You can take our empty lives and fill them. Oh, Lord, we want to love you more and more, even now, Lord, even now, Lord, send us, amen. Oh, glory to God, even now, Lord, by thy Spirit, Lord, that I am drawn to thee. Amen. It's only by thy Spirit, Lord, mine eyes are made to see. It's not by might. It's not by power. But by, oh, that precious moving of your Holy Spirit upon our lives. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that. Amen. By thy Spirit, Lord, I am led to thee. It's only by my Spirit, Lord, my eyes are made to see. It's not by might and not by power, but in reality, it's only by thy Spirit. sing it again. It's only by thy Spirit, Lord, that I am led to thee. It's only by thy Spirit, Lord, that I am led to thee. It's not by might and not by power, but in reality, it's only by thy Spirit, Lord. Amen. Oh, glory. Glory. Sing it again. It's only by thy Spirit, Lord, that I am led to thee. Yes, it's only by just allow the Holy Spirit to come down and envelop me and fill me to my innermost beings. Amen. That's all we need. We need the anointing, glory to God. And it all began at the cross of Calvary. I think I ask for this song every time I'm up here, Brother Reuben. At the cross. Oh, glory. Glory. At the cross where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my heart rolled away. We're maybe carrying a few burdens right now. The sorrow's deep in our hearts for the loss of our dear Shane. But Jesus bore on the cross of Calvary that burden that you're sharing right now. And it was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Joy will come in the morning. Joy will come in the morning. Amen. Yes, we are weeping in the night, but joy will come in the morning if we continue to walk with Him and be faithful and seek Him with all of our hearts. Amen? Yes. Amen. At the cross, everybody. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rose. rolls away, what does it do? It just keeps rolling when it's going down a hill. You send a ball rolling down the hill, it just keeps rolling. Amen. And that's what Jesus has done. He said our sins and our burdens and our sorrows and our troubles are rolling down the hill. And let's not chase after them, praise God. Let's say goodbye to them today. Oh, let our worries and troubles and tribulations and all the things that bother us just go whooshing down the hill. And let the joy of the Lord just fill your hearts like never before. Amen. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my son. Yes. Now I am happy all the day. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Father die? Would he be both the same and head for such? Amen. It's a wonderful, wonderful way since Jesus came my way. I think that's in here, isn't it? I might even, you know that one? I'm not sure it's in the book or not. I think we know it, don't we?
155.
Pardon?
155.
Here we go. Thank you. I love the words of this. What a wonderful, wonderful day. Oh, glory. Since Jesus came, he opened mine eyes to see. I didn't open my eyes. He opened mine eyes. He purchased my liberty. He purchased my freedom. He let me out of the birdcage. That's what that means. Amen. From sin and darkness and death to enter the portals of life, the doors into life. What a wonderful, wonderful day since Jesus came my way. Sing it with all of your hearts. Amen. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Wonderful, wonderful.
open my eyes to see. He purchased my liberty.
Amen.
And death. Jesus came my way. He opened my eyes to see. He purchased my liberty.
From sin and sickness and
death. Amen. Just the ladies. Songs just pop up into my mind, but the other one just, I shall no longer be a stranger wandering to and fro. Better find out what page that's on. Help me with the words. Thank you. Amen. Thou shalt not no longer be a stranger walking to and fro. Thou shalt no longer be a stranger knowing not where to go. Amen? Why? Because Jesus has led the way for us. Thou shalt no longer be a stranger. It'll come to us when it's... 199. Everybody get a chance to look it up here, including me. Amen. Thou shalt no longer be a stranger, no. Amen. Thou shalt no longer be going on where to go. Thou shalt no longer be a stranger, but a man of a son of God, walking in the power and glory on this earthly song. Thou shalt no longer be a stranger. Be a stranger, knowing not where to go. Thou shalt no longer be a stranger, but a manifest son. We're very glad to have Brother Terry and Milt Ingram. Trying to get too many words in my mouth and get them out real fast like Andy. We're so glad to have you with us. And I thought of this song when you were walking down here the other day, because Brother Miller's ministered on that, being manifested sons of God so many times and helped us to reach into the kingdom age. Amen. That's what it's all about. Amen. Amen. No longer strangers, but manifested sons of God. Oh, you are the light of the world. God has chosen you to be the light of the world. His light has shone upon you. His light and radiance is going forth from you even this day, says the Lord thy God. You are mine. You are my selected people. And I have called you and chosen you. And the light of the Lord is upon thee even this very hour, says the Lord thy God unto thee. Hallelujah. Amen. Thou shalt no longer be a stranger walking to the Lord. Oh, thou shalt no longer be a stranger, knowing not where to go. Oh, thou shalt no longer be a stranger, but a manifest son of God, walking in power and glory.
Glory to God.
We bow before thy throne, and we worship thee, our God. We bow our heads and our hands and our face before thee. We lift our hands unto thee, and we proclaim thou art the only one, the only one that can bring peace to thy people. So we worship thee, we adore thee with all of our hearts. We come into your presence to praise and honor you. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. Let your joy be expressed in song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, your God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
But my Lord, I praise thy holy name, for you are my hope, you're my everything. We give you praise and we exalt thy name on high, for you are our God. You are our strength and solitude. There is nothing we can do of ourselves but through thee. So, my Lord, I surrender all. I give myself that you may rule in my life. Oh, my Lord, be enthroned on my heart.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
to you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives. My peace I give to you. My peace I leave to you, not as the world gives. When you meet Jesus, you have all you need. When you meet Jesus, all your desires will be fulfilled. When you meet Jesus, all your deepest longings will be fulfilled when you meet Jesus.
Hallelujah, 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 amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Hallelujah.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Come before him, sing with thanksgiving, and into his court with praise. Know ye that the Lord is God. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into its gates with thanksgiving and into its courts with praise. Be thankful.
Amen.
Name, Paul. may be seated. Amen. We're pleased to have Brother Dennis Greenwich here in his life, and Brother Dennis has a word for you today. So he's come all the way from London, England. It's been many years since we've seen you here. And we had the privilege of having him in our home one time, and we enjoyed them so very, very much. And that's when your children were much smaller. I don't know what's happened. They might be all grown up and left home now. But anyways, we're very glad to have you. Brother Greenwich, please come. Thank you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank and praise you so much that in your presence is the fullness of joy, at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Lord, we recognize and declare today this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it, Lord. I want to thank and praise you for your peace that passes all understanding and that garrisons our minds and our souls. And even now, Lord, as we sense your presence so rich and so real and so tangible, we thank you for your love towards us. We thank you, Father God, for all the provision you've made, even in time of sorrow. And even now, Lord, we commend ourselves to your word and to your grace. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. First of all, let me just say what a privilege it is to be with you. My wife and I, we arrived here in Canada yesterday. And, of course, we were dealing with jet lag. It's a part of life. But it's such a wonderful privilege. It's many years since I've been in this sanctuary while there's a service been going on. I have come to North Battleford on several occasions as I've been heading through to Saskatoon, always coming back and just thanking the Lord so much for the privilege of bringing the brethren into my life. And it was here so many years ago, I believe something like 24 years ago, that in this building they prophesied over my life. And I want to thank the Lord today that I can stand here and say that his word does not return void, but it accomplished that which he sent it to. And out of those prophecies, you know, I didn't even realize that I had them, but even in the early hours this morning, I had those prophecies, and my wife and I listened to them again after so many years and could only bow our heads before him and say, God, you're a faithful God. You are a faithful God. And then, of course, we came, and yesterday we heard the news of what's happened here. And as the brethren asked me just before the service if I would share something, there's a passage of scripture that's been in the last few weeks resounding in my heart. But there is one particular verse that I'd like to start with, that in verse in John chapter 12, just as a matter of encouragement to us all. And I believe as believers, we can declare these truths. Jesus himself said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And there are oftentimes, even as we are on this walk and this journey with the Lord, there are situations and circumstances that come to encumber us and to hold us back and seem to tie us down. And oftentimes, we can find ourselves in a helpless position. But I want to thank the Lord for not only his truth, but his grace. Because oftentimes his truth and the demands of his truth seem so high. And in times of sorrow and distress and grief, we often, even though we know it, even though we know what he's said, we in ourselves cannot muster the strength even to obtain or reach that truth. But we thank him for his elevator of grace that gets under us and lifts us up to meet the demands of his truth. And even now in this situation, as you're facing this situation and standing with the family, I want you to know that his truth never fails. And we can abide in his truth. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one word, not one drop or tittle of his word would in any way pass away. And I want to thank God today that his truth is with us. And in John 12, these words keep resounding. For the last 3 months, they've been going over and over and over in my mind. And it's a truth that nothing can change. No demon, no devil, no thought, no imagination. Nothing can change that which God has spoken and established. In the words of Jesus himself, he said these words in verse 45 of John 12. He who sees me sees him who sent me. And I've been praying daily, dear God, that that will be the testimony of my life. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, Jesus said, he who sees me sees him who sent me. And we can encourage each other through the word of God that greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. Jesus himself said, I can do nothing of myself. I can do nothing without the Father. But he said, when you see me, you see him who sent me. And even in this service that will go on tomorrow, in this Thanksgiving service, this precious life, there will be those who are there that do not know the Lord. There will be those that are there who do not have hope because they don't know the Lord. But I want for every single believer, every child of God, every individual who's been grafted in, I want you, even when you're in that service and you stand there, remember this. They that see you, see him who sent you. And even in the midst of death, there is life. And even out of this situation, one seed may go in the ground, but many may spring forth. And my prayer, my wife's prayer today is that, oh, Father, even in this dark moment, that you might bring light, that you might bring hope, that those who do not know you, even as they hear the testimony of this young lady's life, it will bring truth and bring hope to those who have none. Psalms 34. It was just wonderful to be sitting here and being a part, not just to listen, but to participate in the praise that was going forth. And sometimes it does seem difficult. When we look around us, we can be distracted. When we look inwardly, we can be depressed. But when we look up, we can be delivered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And if we look around right now, there are things that could distract us from the purpose for which we've been called. If we look inwardly and we see within ourselves that we're helpless and hopeless, we can feel depressed. But I will lift mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. And my encouragement to you tonight is to lift your eyes up to the Lord. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He never changes. And I thank God for the brethren that he brought into my life. And I can still see precious Brother Merv here and many of those that came through to London and encouraged us, enlightened us, exhorted us by the word of God. The word has not returned. The word has not returned. It's been a long time since I've been here, but it's some 40 nations later. I've been to over 40 nations, being able to share this good news to those who are lost and dying. And God is the same. He's amazing. He's amazing. In Psalms 34, I'm going to take a few verses just to encourage you. The psalmist David, he pens, or should I say, he was given these words, and he declared these words after acting in a state of madness, because of being gripped by fear, by circumstances that surrounded him. David was in a cave. The cave is called Adullam. And so oftentimes I've been in that region in Israel. And David was in that cave, and in that cave he began to ponder, began to think, began to reflect. And oftentimes we can find ourselves in a cave. Many people in the Bible found themselves in caves just before their deliverance would come. Gideon found himself in a cave. Even our Savior, Jesus Christ, came and was born in a cave. We say a stable, but it was a cave. And as you look through the scriptures, you'll see many, many, many great beginnings begin in caves. And sometimes it seems we can be isolated. Situations and circumstances can come and seem to isolate us. But I want to tell you this right now. The power of praise. There's power in praise. There's power in praise. At midnight, Paul and Silas found themselves isolated, hemmed in, chained up in a cave. It was a prison. And a cave speaks of an isolated place. But at midnight, the darkest part of the night, but at the crack of dawn, they began to sing praises. They began to sing praises. While they were chained up, while they were in distress, while there seemed to be no hope, in the darkest moment, they began to sing praises. And the Bible tells us clearly in Acts 16, when they began to sing praises, the other prisoners heard. Even the jailer, who was suicidal, was about to take his life. But there is power in praise. And even now in this situation, don't lose your praise. For God inhabits the praise of his people. And when we begin to praise him, our praise goes up and he comes down. And I believe right now, as you enter into this time of camp, you're going to experience him like you've never experienced him before. Because in our darkest moments, that's when he shines brightest. And this psalm, David says here, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. It's an individual thing. It's wonderful to be in an environment when there's praise all around. But you know, there comes a time in our life sometimes when the praise externally cannot do what the internal praise can do. Because you can be in a congregation, you can be in the midst of hundreds of people, and they're praising all around you. But if you have lost that hope inside, if the anchor of your soul, which is hope, is not firmly gripping the rock, you can have praise all around you and still be held in sorrow. But you've got to speak to your own soul. You've got to speak to your own heart. And you've got to say, in spite of what I'm going through, I still will praise you. And David came to a place in his life where he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. That's an easy thing to say. It's a difficult thing to do. Are you hearing me? And my wife is here. We know what it is to lose a child. It's a hard thing to bless the Lord in the midst of sorrow. But I want to tell you something right now. When he's your all in all, and he's the hope of your salvation, even in your distress, you can say, I will bless the Lord. It's got to become personal. You can't live off someone else's praise. You've got to find your own praise. And I want to encourage you right now, praise is not something that comes easy often. We have to bring the sacrifice of praise. When our flesh is telling us something else, when our circumstances tell us something else, we have to muster the faith of God that's inside of us, that incorruptible seed, and say, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. David said, I will bless the Lord. I'm not waiting for my mother or my father or my brother or my sister. I will bless him. I will bless him. I will bless the Lord, not just now, not just when things are going good, but I will bless him always. He never arrived in that situation just like that. When he wrote this psalm, he was in that cave of Adullam. He was isolated. He was alone. He'd experienced fear. He was running for his life. And he was in the back room of a cave. But yet still, when he weighed it all up, he said, the Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my strong tower. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. When he began to reflect on how often his life had been pursued and how often death had come to take him, and began to reflect on how often God has saved him and delivered him, he said, I will bless him at all times, because even when I forget about him, he never forgets about me. And even when I'm unfaithful, he remains faithful. If there's ever a time we need to bless the Lord, it's now. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul, that's the mind and my intellect, my will and my emotions, that three-folded cord, I will gather it together. And my soul should make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. I'm going to tell you something right now. This is something we need to hold on to. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. I don't know if you've ever magnified something. The last time I was here, I never had glasses. I never needed glasses. I know what it is to have things magnified. Come on. I know what it is to have things magnified. When I was here last, I was younger. Believe it, I've got older. And when I picked the songbook up, I could just pick the songbook up and I could just sing. But when I put the songbook up tonight, I had to put the songbook up and the glasses. And I want to tell you something right now. There comes times in our lives when we go through situations and circumstances, and the circumstance seems so big and so overwhelming. And we need God's optical lens to be able to see that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need him. We need the lens of magnification to see how big he really is. Are you hearing me? Because in circumstances, it can seem that he's miles away. He can seem so far away. But David said, oh, magnify. Put your heavenly glasses on. See him for who he really is. We don't want to be pretending. I had a struggle trying to sing the songs earlier and try to find the glasses. And in between, I was singing words and making words up just to... But when I put the glasses on, I could be in unity because I could see what you were seeing and sing what you were singing. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. You see, we need to reflect back to what really happened and what brought David to the place where he could pen these words. Oftentimes in life, for our faith to mature, it takes a circumstance. It takes a situation. If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he could solve them. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? It's in the midst of our trouble. It's in the midst of our distress that we know he's God. Come on. It's easy to say, I will bless the Lord at all times. But that's not going to be a reality until it's proven through the circumstances of life. And I reflect back here in 1 Samuel chapter 21, and I find this is the course of events that brings David to that place where he could say these words. In verse 4 of Psalms 34, he says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from some of my fears. Oh no. All of my fears. Not some of my fears. David had come to an ultimate place in his life where he said, I sought the Lord, he heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. I used to always say, fear is false evidence appearing real. Or fear is the dark room where we develop all of our negatives. When fear comes, it will present a picture to us of things that are not really the way they really are. And that's why God never called us to walk by fear. He calls to walk by faith. And it's his perfect love that drives out that fear. And we need to understand that in the darkest moments of our life, when fear grips us, that's when we begin to develop all of our negatives. And David went through this situation, I believe, and it was on reflection to where he had come from that he sat down and realized how he had taken his eyes off of his Creator. He was a man after God's own heart. But in reflection, he looked at himself, and I see here in verse 10, let me take it from verse 9 of 1 Samuel 21, just to get the context. So the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, there it is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you will take that, take it, for there is no other except that one here. And David said, there is none like it. Give it to me. And David looked at that sword. He knew it was the sword of Goliath. It was wrapped. It was kept behind the ephod. He looked at it and he said, there's no other sword like it. Give it to me. And then verse 10, then David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down on his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of a madman that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? Verse 1 of chapter 22, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. I want to just encourage you all tonight to let you know and remind us that we didn't actually choose him. He chose us. I thank God, yes, there came a point in my life where I made a decision to follow Jesus. But I thank God that my salvation was not based on my choice. Because I can change my mind. Because sometimes when circumstances come, you can become irrational. And when we're irrational, we behave crazy. But I thank God, he's never irrational. And he's definitely not crazy. He's God all by himself. And when he says something, he says what he means. And he means what he said. And when he anointed David, that anointing was to remove burdens and to break yokes. And even though David's thoughts may have become irrational, God's word still remained the same. And you see, it's quite amazing. And I want to encourage you tonight, even in the time that you're facing. You see, David had the very sword. And never in my life have I ever shared this. I have never said this because I never realized or thought about it until I was up in the room praying when the brothers asked me if I would share. And I thank God. This is as new to me as it is to you. And maybe you already know it, but it's new to me. It came home to me for the first time that David was given the very sword that he had taken his greatest enemy's head off with. He was carrying a sword that was a testimony to the fact that God can bring down any enemy that comes against his children. And even though he was carrying that sword, it was not the strength of the sword. It was the strength of God. And I want to tell you right now and encourage you that we can have the sword. And we can be carrying the sword. And the very sword that gave us past victories. We can become overwhelmed by circumstance and situations and forget to take that sword out. And David had that sword. And when he saw the king Achish, a man, he feared a man because his eyes were not focused on God. God was not magnified the circumstance. And we need to understand when the enemy is on our tail and we're on the run and it seems that he's always there, we can get worn down, we can get worn out, we can become distressed. And David had Saul after him, attempts on his life, and now he comes to Achish and fear grips his heart. And now he begins to act like a crazy man. Oh, you may have never done that. But I want to tell you something. There have been times in my life, even though I know that God has delivered me in the past, even though I know that he's done so many things when I've seen the miraculous, there have been times in my life when I've had to pull myself together and get a hold of my emotions because of circumstances. We can become temperamental and we can become emotional and our heart can faint oftentimes because of the situation we're facing. And David began to act like a madman. Even though those around him who were not even a part of the kingdom that God had established, even though those around him could testify and say, is this not the David that slew 10,000? There are people around us who don't know what we know, have not experienced what we experienced, but they know that something happened in our lives, and they will even say, is that not the believer? Is that not the Christian? And when we begin to doubt and we take our eyes off the Lord, they seem to see that we are doubting when we don't see it. The king turned around and said, this madman, God still had mercy. I believe. If God be for us, who can be against us? I believe that when we're in the center of God's will, no demon, no devil can touch us. I believe that if anything happens to us, God allows it to happen. God allows it. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. And God is omnipresent. And I want to encourage you right now, do not throw away your testimony. In the time that we're living in right now, we are seeing all through Europe, oh dear God, we're seeing all through Europe. All through Europe, we're seeing those who are turning their backs on the things of God. One of the prophecies that came over my life, and I was reminded today, from the brethren when I came here 24 years ago, was that God would bring me into the place of royalty in England. He fulfilled that. He brought me right into the parliament. And every month, I'm praying with members of parliament who are born again and calling out to God and crying out to God. One of the prophecies was that he would bring me in to royalty. Not because we're anything in ourselves, but his word shall not return void. And God, allow me to be in that position, not because I'm anything, but because he's everything, and he's God. And I want to say this right now. Do you know what really strikes me? Is this. That when David fled, guess where he was? He had the evidence of the sword, which I didn't even realize before, to tell him that he had victory. But also, too, the very place where he acted crazy was in the very place where he slew Goliath. Gath. He had the sword. And he was in the very place where his biggest giant came down. And yet still, because he was overwhelmed with distress and fear and doubt, the little King Achish seemed bigger than his God. Oh, listen to me tonight. God is still God. He's still sovereign. He will never change. And even though we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for he is with us. And the Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He remains the same. And I want to say for every one of you that's here, faithfulness is his requirement. Fruitfulness is his reward. Don't just be faithful in the good times. What blesses me here is this. That after David sits in that cave and begins to ponder, I believe he came back to his senses. Sometimes we have to sit down. When I was a boy, they used to sing a song, "When I think of the goodness of Jesus and what he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me." I believe when David sat in that cave of Adullam by himself and began to ponder, when you have nothing else but God, you will see him for who he is. In the cave, there was no furniture. Are you hearing me? In the cave, there were no more distractions. In the cave, there were no more enemies to be seen. In the cave was just rocks. And I believe, being amongst those rocks, his focus came back of the rock of all rocks. And the Bible clearly tells me here, and I close with this to encourage you. The Bible says clearly, and while David was in that cave, his family heard. Remember, his family had rejected him. His family looked down on him as though he's nothing. But when David came to that place where he made up his mind, I'm going to bless the Lord anyhow. His praise is going to continually be in my mouth. It just seems to me that something happened in the spiritual realm, and he didn't have to go looking even to witness to his family. He became a witness of the greatest one of all. And in his isolation, he declared, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continue to be in my mouth." And then he begins to prophesy. The humble will hear of it. Oh, God. He just began to speak in a cave. And suddenly it says that his family heard he was in a cave. And his family came down. But it also says here in verse 2, "And everyone who was in distress and everyone who was in debt and everyone who was discontented gathered to him." So he became the captain over them. You're the head. You're not the tail. And I want to tell you this right now, out of your own personal experiences, God can use that which is a stumbling block to be a stepping stone. It just seems to me the very man who was in debt, discontent, and distressed, in a cave began to praise God. And all of a sudden, God reversed that situation and made him magnetic. His praise made him magnetic. And all those who were in debt, who were in distress and discontent, began to be drawn to the very place where the presence of God was, where in his presence is the fullness of joy. Let me tell you something right now. That cave became a cathedral. God has a way of turning caves, isolated places, isolated situations, into a place of blessing. I will bless the Lord. 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 Not sometimes. I will bless the Lord at all times. And I want to tell you something right now. God's been good to us. He's blessed us with two little girls. And several times they faced death. I remember my youngest one, they told us, because she had a fit and went into a coma, and they told her she was in it so long that if she came out, she probably could be brain damaged. I'm going to tell you something right now. She's far from brain damaged. She's far from brain damaged. But I remember coming to the hospital, and my wife was there, and there was no more tears left in her. The doctors had her. There was an Indian, I believe, Muslim doctor that had my child. She was just gone. Listen to me. It just so happened that night I had been in an all-night prayer meeting. And while I was praying, suddenly I was praying and I saw a serpent, just as I was praying, wrapped itself around my hand. And I panicked and done that. But then it came back to me what I read in Acts when Paul was taking that wood out and the serpent got him. And I threw it, and all of a sudden I saw fire. When I went to the hospital that day, and my wife was there, and they had my little daughter there, Gabrielle, and said that probably she would be brain damaged, I asked the doctor to give me my daughter. Sometimes you have to take what belongs to you back. Are you hearing me? And sometimes you can't even find the word to pray. Are you hearing me? Sometimes you can't find words to pray. You can only find words to praise. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for giving me this child. Thank you because you're the same yesterday, today, forever. Thank you. Sometimes you have to go beyond the circumstance. Because if you're looking at the circumstance, you'll be so depressed and so down, you have to go beyond. And I remember just thanking the Lord, thanking the Lord. And I said, Gabrielle, wherever you are, you're coming back to Daddy. And I thank God she came back. Are you hearing me? Some things in life we don't understand, but it doesn't change who God is. He's sovereign. And I am closing. I'm not taking up any more time. But there's one thing I want to do. If we could all just stand to our feet, and if we could all lift our voice and just give him the praise. I will bless him at all times. Young people, thank the Lord for the life he's given to you. Older people, thank the Lord for who he is. Let's just begin to thank him in this building right now. Let's just begin to glorify him right now. Come on, just lift your voice and begin to thank him. I will bless you, Lord, at all times. Come on, lift your voice. Father, we thank and we praise you because you're worthy to be praised. I will go beyond my feelings. I'll go beyond my emotions, Lord. And I will lift my hands and I will lift my voice. If it's the last thing I do today, God, I want to bless you. I want to glorify you, Lord. I want to honor you. We exalt you, Father. We pray, O Lord Jesus, that you will grant, O Lord, grant grace even for this family, Lord God. May they be borne up on the wings of prayer and praise, O Lord. Father, right now we pray for them. We pray you'd undergird them, O Lord God. We lift you up. We exalt you. You are their God. You are their Savior. You are their Emancipator. You are their Healer. You are their Deliverer. You are their Strength, O Lord. You are their Shield. You are their Butler. Lord, we come before you right now and we raise holy hands and we declare, O Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Come on, lift your voice and give him the praise that's due to him right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Dennis. Please bring our greetings and our love to your church as you return home. And we're really delighted to have you with us today and to encourage us to keep pressing on into the kingdom. Amen? Amen. There'll be some with announcements tonight in regards to tomorrow. Somebody are prepared to... And anybody else that has announcements before the close?